At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to the special edition of The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director and Founder of the Commonwealth Policy Center. Amendment number 2 is on the ballot this November the 3rd. Early voting begins. November the 8th is Election Day. One of the most important issues on the ballot. And it says this: to protect human life, nothing in this Constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. But the opposition says that this restricts women's rights, and this would also hurt women in their private medical decisions regarding reproductive health care. For the record, I did invite the Planned Parenthood director in Kentucky, Tamara Weider. She declined to join us, but we have with us State Representative Nancy Tate of Meade County. She represents House District 27. She is also the chairwoman of the pro-life caucus in the Kentucky House, and she was a co-sponsor of the Human Life Protection Act. Representative Tate, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Richard. I sincerely appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak on Constitutional Amendment number 2. As far as I'm concerned, this is probably one of the most important pieces of legislation or constitutional amendments that we've probably seen or will see in our lifetime.
What makes this such a pressing issue is that with the Dobbs decision that the U.S. Supreme Court handed down back in the summer, it turns the issue of abortion policy back to the states. Now, none of us expected this when the original legislation passed, but here we are. Just a few months after Dobbs, Kentucky voters will go to the polls to amend their constitution. They can either ratify what you all did in the legislature, or they can reject it. But I want to get back to, why is this needed? When you were voting on this bill, the Constitutional Amendment 2, why did you see a need for this?
Yeah, so Richard, one point that you said earlier was that we never expected Roe versus Wade to be overturned. And I think that actually there were several people that did expect that. Maybe not exactly in 2022, yeah. But that's exactly what we've been working on since 73, yeah. Whenever this was inappropriately passed at the U.S. Supreme Court perspective. You know, since 73, there's been 63 million babies that have been killed in the womb. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I was voting on this bill, that's exactly what I was voting on. And the fact that there were 3,500 to 4,000 babies a year that are being killed here in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And so there's really no right, as the U.S. Supreme Court has demonstrated, there's no right to an abortion in the U.S. Constitution. And so the Kentucky Constitution is, in that area, verbatim like the U.S. Constitution. So if there is no right to an abortion in the U.S. Constitution, then there should be no right to an abortion in the Kentucky Constitution.
And yet this is what the opposition is saying. Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, and other outside groups are saying that there is, and this is their words, sure, a fundamental right to abortion for women. And yet what we saw in the Dobbs decision, the U.S. Supreme Court majority said no, there never was a right, never should have been a right. But they're saying it at the state level. I want to bring us to Judge Mitchell Perry, a circuit judge in Louisville, who blocked Kentucky's Human Life Protection Act. And he said that there is not just the right to privacy, and that's what the opposition argued. He acknowledged that, but also a possible religious freedom right. I found that interesting in his ruling. If we do not have this amendment in place, mm-hmm, does that ruling have a chance to create public policy for us if we don't get this amendment passed?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the risk that we have is we would have exactly the same opportunity to make the mistake that the U.S. Supreme Court has made, and that they have not been constitutional purists, they've been constitutional popularists. And so therefore, if it's not specifically stated that there's an opposition or no right to, yeah, then they would interpret. And I understand that that's the judicial branch's responsibility to interpret. But this is just, the U.S. Supreme Court has said that there is no right, so therefore I would hope and pray that the Kentucky Supreme Court would make that same ruling. Yet I'm concerned that that would not happen. You know, as a matter of fact, two of our U.S. Kentucky Supreme Court justices have said that they're going to wait until after November 8th to see what Kentucky says. And I think that that's very interesting because as far as I'm concerned, Kentucky has already said what they think about being a pro-life state. You know, since 1910, that was when our first legislation was passed that did specify that we were a pro-life state. Right.
And more specifically, in the last 6 years, the state legislature, with your help and the work of your colleagues,
yes,
have
sir.
Passed 13 different pro-life bills.
Absolutely.
Many of them are bipartisan, and they address abortion policy from different aspects, whether it's late-term abortions, whether it's the heartbeat bill, the number of other Chemical Abortion Reporting Act, a number of other bills. You sponsored House Bill 3 this last session, an omnibus abortion bill. A lot of hard work has been put into making Kentucky a pro-life state, elevating a sanctity of life ethic,
yes,
if you will. And if this amendment isn't passed, it's my understanding that any one of those laws could be struck down by a judge like Mitchell Perry, the mm-hmm. circuit judge in Louisville, or any other judge on the bench in the Commonwealth.
That's correct. You know, and that's one of the reasons, and I'll just throw this out there, that's one of the reasons why it's very important for us to be deliberative whenever we elect anyone, be that in the legislative branch, be that in the executive branch, or be that in the judicial branch, because each one of these people and each one of these branches need to reflect what the sentiment is for Kentucky.
Representative Tate, the state legislature is being impugned by a group called Protect Kentucky Access. They are running television ads, they're sending out mailers, they're doing a text-to-text messaging campaign, and they are accusing the legislature of overstepping its bounds, of potentially harming women,
sure.
of forcing women to carry dead fetuses, of preventing care for ectopic pregnancies, a number of things. The latest I heard was stopping elderly women from getting rheumatoid arthritis medication
yeah.
because there are some ingredients in that medication that are used for abortion. I've heard a number of charges across the state. Here's one that's found on Protect Kentucky Access's website. They say this: the amendment is a clear example of extreme politicians going too far. If Amendment 2 passes, it will allow government overreach into our personal medical decisions. The language is so absolute and final. Just look at the word nothing. Who knows how far this could go? Can you respond to that?
Yeah, so Richard, I think that that's so unfortunate. You know, the group that you're talking about, actually, who are they? They're probably, and I'm just going to say it, go on the record and say they're not from Kentucky. So basically what we would be doing is we would be allowing money from outside of Kentucky, California, New York, maybe even overseas, to actually infiltrate and to affect our policy and our decisions. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything that every elected official is going to tell you that is open and honest. But I will sit here and tell you that every legislation, every piece of legislation, the 13 that you referred to, they're on the record.
Yeah.
It's on the record specifically what we've said, specifically who's voted for it. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no black or white. I mean, it's there. I mean, there's no in between. It's right there. And so when people look at Constitutional Amendment number 2, you read it earlier. And if you break it down, it is very simple, very matter of fact. And one of the things you're going to hear people say is that, oh, constitutional amendments are always so confusing. This one is not confusing. We were very deliberative and intentional and making sure that it was simple and that people would understand that there's no right to an abortion in the Commonwealth or the funding or the use of our precious dollars, our precious tax dollars for those abortions.
And again, that constitutional amendment says this: to protect human life, nothing in this Constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. And the intention was to stop a state-level Roe v. Wade,
right.
where a state judge could find a right or create a right to abortion in our Kentucky Constitution. The other thing it does is it stops the funding of abortion with tax dollars.
Now, one other thing too, and I'm going to circle back around, because you said that one of the things that is being said is that we are putting women at risk.
Yes.
Their health at risk.
Now, that's what the other side is saying.
That's what the other side is saying. That's correct. And so specifically in our legislation, it says that the health of the mother will not be put at risk. The health of the mother is always taken into consideration, the health of the mother and the health of the baby in pro-life legislation. In pro-choice legislation, the baby is always endangered. And that's, there's no separation of that. The baby is always in danger.
Nancy, current state law, correct me if I'm wrong, already protects the health and life of the mother.
Absolutely. Right? And that has not changed at all in any of the 13 bills that we have passed.
So according to one of their ads, it says this, Amendment 2 in Kentucky. This is a mailer sent out across the state by Protect Kentucky Access. Amendment 2 in Kentucky is government overreach, which would ban all abortions, even in cases of rape, incest, and when the mother's life is at risk.
Right.
So you just said that part of this is false because it does not ban abortion when the mother's life is at risk.
Absolutely correct. It does not ban abortion when a mother's life is at risk. And it does not affect at all victims of rape and incest. That's not even in the constitutional amendment at all. That would be a policy level decision that would be made by the legislative branch in the future. Now, one of the things too is that, you know, some of my best friends, and I'll tell you this, I tell everybody that will listen, that some of my best friends were actually conceived from rape and incest. And this tears them apart whenever we hear anybody say that their life is not of value, that they don't deserve to be alive. And I am a firm believer that every life is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And so therefore, it's not up to us as humans, or specifically the legislative branch, to decide when this baby does not deserve to be alive.
That's a good point. There was a rally by the Pro-Life Alliance in the Commonwealth of Kentucky at the Capitol just a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several women who were there who had been victims of sexual assault, which
Correct.
Was tragic, but
it
they
is.
Came out in support of this amendment.
That's absolutely right.
They were thankful that their mothers chose mm-hmm. life, but they also put a face on a tragic situation that resulted in some good. They were given life,
mm-hmm.
a chance
absolutely.
At life.
Absolutely, right.
Representative Tate, I'd like to move on to some also television ads, controversial mm-hmm. ads aired by Protect Kentucky Access. One was released recently. It was a grandmother talking mm-hmm. about her granddaughter having access to abortion. I'm going to read the transcript
okay.
here, and I'd like you to respond.
Sure.
This grandmother says, my husband and I had two wonderful children right. and one amazing granddaughter. My daughter's pregnancy was hard, but my granddaughter was born healthy. We were so fortunate, but the same doesn't apply to all pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
If Amendment 2 passes, my granddaughter may not have had the option to end a pregnancy to stay alive, and that's unimaginable. My granddaughter shouldn't have fewer rights than I did. We can't go backwards. Amendment 2 is an extreme mandate made by politicians, and it goes too far. Vote no.
Mm-hmm. So basically, she's saying that she thinks that her granddaughter should have the right to an abortion.
That's essentially what
so
she's saying.
So what she's mm-hmm. saying is that her great-granddaughter, her lineage, that as far as she's concerned, that person is not of value. And that person is not responsible or important, I guess is the word that I'm looking for, is important to her daughter or her granddaughter. And I find that so unbelievably sad. Unbelievably sad.
That's the opposite.
I can't even imagine.
Opposite of a sanctity of life ethic.
Absolutely.
In a culture.
That's exactly right.
One of the things though I think that they're trying to convey here is that my granddaughter may not have had the option to end a pregnancy to stay alive. Address
mm-hmm.
that.
To stay alive. Again, it goes back to the life of the mother is always taken into consideration in our legislation. That it's in black and white, the life of the mother is taken into consideration. And that will not change with this constitutional amendment, number two. And so I just think it's very, what we're doing is we're actually playing on people's emotions versus actually looking at facts and figures. Yeah. And I think that that's so sad, again, that we're allowing money from outside of Kentucky to potentially sway us and not continue to allow us and give us the opportunity and solidify that we are a pro-life state.
Hi, this is Richard Nelson, and I'm asking you to vote yes on the Yes for Life Amendment 2. you can stop tax-funded abortion and prevent judges from inventing a right to abortion. The Yes for Life Amendment is simple. It says to protect human life, nothing in the Constitution secures a right to abortion or requires the funding of abortion. It makes sense. It's pro-life and pro-Kentucky values. So please vote Yes for Life on Amendment 2 on November the 8th.
Another ad that Protect Kentucky Access is airing features a woman who had an abortion, and it says this, the text says this, "Everyone hopes for a healthy pregnancy and baby. That was not my story. We had multiple tests and doctor visits. We wanted this baby, but both me and the baby were at risk. Mm-hmm. Amendment 2 means no abortions, no exceptions. Kentucky politicians don't understand their mandate and will put women's lives in danger.
Right.
It's an impossible decision. I can't imagine a politician making it for me. Amendment 2 goes too far. Please, for our families and yours, vote no." Are you putting women's lives in danger?
Absolutely not. You know, Richard, one of the things that's very interesting is when I look at the vital statistics for Kentucky, and I can look at the vital statistics, it's open record. It's, you know, anyone in Kentucky can actually go look at that. Is that for the last 5 years, there's only been one woman, every 5 years that has had an abortion because her life was in danger. Mm-hmm. The reason why is because women, when their lives are in danger, don't go to an abortion clinic.
Right.
They actually go to their doctor. Okay. And that is absolutely what we want these women to have, the opportunity to visit their doctors and to take that opportunity. One life, one woman. Every year. I'm not talking 1%. I'm talking one every year. And that was based upon the information that they provided on the intake.
Yeah.
So it's not anything that I'm putting into their mouths or anything that anybody else is doing. They're filling out that intake sheet.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are saying that they're not there or that their life is in risk.
Nancy, I watched a debate on KET where the Planned Parenthood representative was addressing late-term abortions. Now, as it is, there was an attempt by the legislature to, in fact, a law that was enacted that would ban late-term abortions. There was the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. There was the Dismemberment Abortion
Dismemberment
Act.
Absolutely.
Those are being tied up. Both of those, I believe, are tied up in federal court.
That's correct.
But late-term abortions are still allowed in the Commonwealth. At this point, there's no abortions.
No abortions.
But prior to Dobbs, they were allowed. Planned Parenthood was saying they don't happen.
Uh-huh.
They do not happen
right.
in the Commonwealth. Do you have a response
right.
to that?
So the abortions were allowed in the Commonwealth of Kentucky up to 20 weeks. But what the other side is actually looking at, and all you have to do is you have to look at what the rhetoric that's being pushed nationwide. And so the other side, that pro-choice side, really wants infanticide.
Yeah.
And they want the rights to abort a baby up to birth, and in some states, 28 days after birth.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really say, because that person or that baby is actually, something's wrong with them.
Yeah.
All it says is that the parents might not want them. Can you imagine 28 days after birth?
Is that California?
Maryland? There's one in Maryland as well.
Was that proposed or is that actually part of their public policy? Is that allowed?
To date, if I'm not mistaken, it's just been proposed.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, the Biden administration has said that that's what they want as well. They want infanticide up to 28 days after birth. And that's not just because there's something severely disabled about that baby.
Yeah.
All it says is that the parents don't want the baby. I mean, that's murder. It's murder in the womb, and it's certainly murder outside of the womb.
Absolutely. You had brought up the money that's involved with the Vote No side.
Mm-hmm.
Protect Kentucky Access has raised over $3 million. We did an analysis of where that money is coming from. 83% of that $3 million is coming from out-of-state groups. Consider a few of the donations. Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg donated $250,000 to Protect Kentucky
correct.
Access. There's a group called an Arizona group called Families United for Freedom. They donated $350,000. Advocacy Action Fund out of Menlo Park, California donated $500,000. So there you've got New York, Arizona, California. 45% of that $3 million budget or money that has been raised has come from the ACLU and Planned Parenthood affiliates from across the country. $400,000 from the ACLU and $964,000 from Planned Parenthood. So mm-hmm. most of the money is coming from out of state. I had a chance to look a little closer at Kentucky donors. Many of them are coming from Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
There's some from Lexington. I've only noticed a few former elected officials on there. Not very many current officials that are putting their money into this. But there's a lot of money that's been poured in by outside groups.
Absolutely.
To change our minds
that's
on
right.
Kentucky public policy, isn't
right.
there?
Yeah, and that is so sad. I mean, like I said before, I know, and we know that since 1910, the first piece of pro-life legislation was passed. And, you know, people say, well, Nancy, I think that you guys are just being opportunistic. So since you had the majority in the House and the Senate, that this is why you're doing this. And I go, actually, it's contraire. The people of Kentucky have sent us here. The people have sent us here because they know that we're the most pro-life General Assembly in the history of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So we're not being opportunistic. We're actually following the direction of our constituents.
Yeah.
And I am so proud of Kentucky for taking on this challenge. And here we are at the very last minute. And so all we have to do is push this one constitutional amendment over the finish line. And then, you know, this is always going to be a battle, you know, because we've talked about what how much of a money-making opportunity this is. This is a $1 billion industry on an annual basis in Kentucky.
So Planned Parenthood's 2020-2021 annual report revealed that they took in $1.7 billion in income. Now, this is the Planned Parenthood affiliates across the country. They performed 383,460 abortions
right.
in 2020.
They're the number one single provider of abortions in the United States and probably in the world.
So, Nancy, if you multiply the minimum dollar amount for an abortion, which is $500. That's the minimum.
That's correct,
if
yes,
you,
sir.
If you have a second trimester abortion, it's going to be more expensive.
Yes, sir.
Third trimester, you're talking thousands. But if you just multiply the minimum number of dollars per abortion times that $383,000, you will get $191,730,000 that Planned Parenthood took in from abortions in 2020. That's the minimum number. It's likely much more than that.
Absolutely.
So they stand a lot to gain, don't they?
Well, not only that, but then you have to look at the federal dollars that are being applied to Planned Parenthood as well. The numbers that I've seen is that at least $530 million is going to Planned Parenthood from our federal dollars on an annual basis. $530 million. So they took in $130 million from abortions.
$191 million.
$191 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then our tax dollars, $530 million.
Yeah.
So even though there's the Hyde Amendment at the federal level, that means there's still money that's being filtered to Planned Parenthood, and then that's how they're using their money.
Let's talk about that for just a moment. There was an effort at the federal level to defund Planned Parenthood, especially in 2015 when it was revealed that their executives were bartering or trading
harvesting.
Or trying to
harvesting baby parts,
baby body parts.
That's
and then
exactly
selling
right.
them,
that's
using
correct.
Them
yes,
for
sir.
Research
Seven,
purposes.
That's correct. 7 years ago,
there was
that's
a
correct.
huge backlash against that. But in the Kentucky legislature, there was a defund Planned Parenthood bill. It did get through. It is on the books, and essentially, it could not be. My understanding is it could not be totally defunded, but it put Planned Parenthood at the bottom of the list when it came to receiving public tax dollars.
That's correct, yes. And in House Bill 3 of this year, we actually passed our version, the Kentucky version of the Hyde Amendment. And the reason why is because we want to make sure that none of our precious Kentucky tax dollars are being spent to fund abortions or federal pass-through dollars.
I want to talk about the ACLU for just a moment. The ACLU historically has challenged pro-life laws that the legislature passes. In the past, they have taken in hundreds of thousands of dollars that the state has had to pay to them for successful legal challenges that they've brought forth. So the ACLU stands quite a bit to gain from this as well.
Oh, but absolutely.
They'll have pro-life laws to litigate and possible money from the state taxpayers to gain from this as well. So maybe it's no wonder why they donated $400,000. These are ACLU affiliates from across the country that are trying to defeat this amendment. A point I made recently in a column that I wrote was that if this amendment is defeated, it would make Kentucky, if I could use this term, an abortion oasis. I know that's an oxymoron, but here's what I mean by that. All the surrounding states, minus Illinois, have some kind of restrictions on abortion on demand. Mm-hmm. Tennessee has no abortions except to save the life of the mother. Indiana passed a similar law. They have a little, it's a little broader.
Yeah, it's a little broader.
Some extra.
Yeah, exactly.
You look at West Virginia, they've got some serious restrictions. Ohio, Missouri, all of the states surrounding Kentucky have strong restrictions on abortion. If they defeat this amendment, Senator Representative Tate, could you possibly see groups like Planned Parenthood coming in with major facilities to provide abortions, especially for the surrounding states?
It's absolutely, and wouldn't that be tragic? Absolutely tragic. One of the things that I haven't shared with you is that I had the opportunity to be a guest of Life Action earlier this year. And while I was there, we had I was in the same room, actually at the same table with legislators from Indiana, West Virginia, and Idaho. And they were talking about the language that is being pushed through their Senate. And it was appalling to me, the information or the language that was being pushed through their Senate through organizations like Planned Parenthood and ACLU and the Hospital Association. And it's an orchestrated attempt to basically, I'm just going to say, to undermine our pro-life values. And I think that again, is very, very tragic.
Representative Tate, we have just a moment. Any final words of encouragement or wisdom here?
Yeah, so Richard, as I've said, this is one of the most important things that I think that we've voted on or had the opportunity to vote on, had before us, and I know my lifetime. And I'm honored to have the opportunity to be here, honored to have the opportunity to represent my district and the people of Kentucky. And I just encourage everyone to come out and vote yes for Constitutional Amendment 2 to make sure that we solidify in our Constitution that there is no right to an abortion. So thank you very much, and I'm so honored to be here.
Well, thank you for your stand, for your hard work to restore a sanctity of life ethic back to the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And I concur with you. This is our opportunity as Kentuckians to get out and vote, to maintain the sanctity of life. Early voting again begins on November the 3rd. Election day is November the 8th. If you don't want judges making up a right to abortion from our Constitution, if you want to maintain your right as a voter to have some say in this policy, then get out on November the 8th and vote yes for life on Amendment 2. Thank you and God bless.